Our speaker today is Michael Ridley. He was named Chief Information Officer in 2004 and has been the Chief Librarian at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada since 1995. He has received many awards, which I don't have time to read, but most recently this year, he was awarded the Miles Blackwell Award for Outstanding Academic Librarian by the Canadian Association of College and University Libraries. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Ridley.
Thanks, Al, and thanks for everybody for coming. Can you hear me okay? Is that working all right? Yep, perfect. Thanks very much for that. And thanks for coming today. I really appreciate it. I think this is an opportunity to explore a little bit, I guess, what it is I do every day, and hopefully what we can see in that is whether it's something that you folks might want to do or are doing and could do differently, or you don't want to go there at all based on my experience. So I'm hoping that what you'll see is one particular scenario which you could extrapolate and see where you want to go with that. You'll notice I've changed the title. It's no longer 5 years. It's now 6 years, a whole extra year of longevity. I survived one more. I guess that says something. I'm not exactly sure what. The other thing I guess that I should say, this talk really is an awful lot about me. I'm going to talk about what I'm doing, what I've done, what we've done in the role, I guess. So it's a little bit egocentric, and I apologize for that. So we've decided to change the hashtag for this event. So if you are tweeting or blogging, the new hashtag is Ridley sucks, get him off the podium. So just remember to use that liberally if you don't like what's going on here. So I'm going to talk about being in a role which is in some ways common, it's happening in lots of places, but in lots of places is very uncommon and different. The way that we bring together IT and libraries and use them strategically in some fashion. So my role is CIO and Chief Librarian, and in that role I'm responsible for computing on campus, I'm responsible for the library, but I'm also responsible as the CIO for overall strategy for the institution around information and information technology and those sorts of things. So think about it not as two roles, but maybe as three roles. But most people think of it as two, and in a sense, that's part of the problem. So I'm kind of this for most people. That's what they think I do for a living. And in a way, that's one of the challenges that I have to try and break out of that dualistic kind of mode and really see my role in a much more strategic kind of way. I should let you know that this is interesting for us because I'm also the first CIO at the University of Guelph. So not only did we create a new role for CIO, something we hadn't had before, but we decided we wanted to do that in conjunction with bringing computing and the library together. So we've got a couple things going on that maybe make our situation unique, but maybe similar to what you folks are up to as well. So some people were happy about this, and some people weren't so happy. Some people saw this as an advantage. Others were quizzical about what it would mean. And so when I talk about this, I'll try and give you my experience, our experience, what worked, what didn't work, what we still haven't done, what we'd like to do. I'll try and be, it's a kind of a warts and all presentation, I guess. And certainly I hope there's time at the end for questions, comments, feedback, that sort of thing would be very helpful. A little bit about the University of Guelph, because I think it does make a difference. As Sal said, a Canadian university, about 20,000 students, which makes us a sort of a mid-sized university in Canada. 870-odd faculty, they're very odd, students in various campuses. We think of ourselves as research-intensive and learner-centered. That's the way we think about what we do. We do have a very active research program at our institution, and we're focusing on a lot of life sciences stuff, but also a lot in humanities and social sciences as well. But we are a big school for the life sciences, including a big ag school and a big vet school. I say all this not just to give you a bit of background on Guelph, but also to suggest that the size of the institution and the nature and the culture of the institution were really useful and helpful in my role. In a sense, they fit together nicely. And I think you'll see a big theme here in terms of that organizational fit being pretty important in what this kind of a role can do or can't do. When we decided to create this combined role, or this integrated role, the message from the president and from the provost was pretty clear. My core job was organizational transformation. what I was intending to do, what I intended to do through this innovation, was really change the way we teach, learn, do research, provide administrative support, do service. It was about change, transformational change. How could we lever this opportunity? How could we bring these types of people together in different ways? How could we use the role and the position to promote and implement new and different ideas, or just to nurture new and different ideas? So it was very much a change mandate, but it was also very much a mandate created from the top down. There was no groundswell amongst our staff and our faculty to do this. And that's probably worth thinking about. So huge issues around the academic culture, the academic institution, and how we could work with that in this way. And it always reminds me of two pretty important observations about universities. One from Clark Kerr, former president of the University of California. I have sometimes thought of the university as a series of individual faculty entrepreneurs held together by a common grievance over parking. We really do have to work with those 870 faculty in very different ways, very unique and specific ways. They're not a group. They're a bunch of individuals focused on their own work. And that really does, in almost all our cases, play out in our organizations. We have very kind of schizophrenic organizations in the academy. And partly it's because we have that overall mission, but partly we have all these individual entrepreneurs going off and doing their own thing. Elson Floyd also observed once that culture eats strategy for lunch every day of the week. And I think that's absolutely the case as well. As much as we try to put together plans and develop things in a logical, kind of consistent way, and we love to do that, we're really good at that, we're all academics, intellectuals, the culture that surrounds that or nurtures that strategy is probably the single most important piece. So how you do community development on your campuses, how you do organizational change, actually will probably be more important in terms of the outcomes than the actual written observed strategies themselves. So what I said is I wanted to do, I want to talk about good things and not so good things, where we've been successful and where we haven't, and then hopefully we can open up a little bit of dialogue about that as well. And I thought I'd try and organize this around seven themes that will focus my comments and maybe allow us to explore a little bit what's worked and what hasn't. And we'll see how those themes go. So the first one is the issue of credibility. And in this role, almost the very first thing that was important for me to establish was, why me in this role? What do I bring to the table that makes me useful and valid in this role? So there's that demonstration of what credibility is, and the opportunity then to do things that once that credibility is acknowledged or realized or some way. And it was really different on campus from different groups. So the librarians, when I got this role, and I had been chief librarian for a number of years beforehand, were concerned that really this made me a geek and that I was going to just do all the IT stuff and the library stuff was going to get put on the back burner. They actually felt, and the word they used was abandoned at some point, that I'd gone over to even a further dark side, and that was a problem. The IT people, of course, thought I was a dork, that I didn't really understand IT. I was a library guy, and, you know, I understood books, but, you know, and I understood how to shush people in rooms, but, you know, I didn't really know much about the technology side of the business and how could I be their senior representative in those kinds of forums. So they were a little pretty suspicious of me, too. Other managers in the unit, so think about other senior unit managers in the university, they saw this new CIO as, frankly, a roadblock. I'm the guy who was going to get in the way of them doing the kind of work that they previously could do all on their own. So now there was a CIO guy who was going to interpose himself between their plans and funding, perhaps, or implementation in some way. The faculty had a very different perspective. They just saw another damned administrator that was, you know, sucking up salary dollars, and you know, why do we need him anyway? We should get rid of all of those senior administrators regardless. So I guess the real point is that there were sort of expectations of this role and different perspectives about what I could accomplish and what I couldn't accomplish. The one thing that was kind of interesting about me being the chief librarian and then taking on the CIO role and the responsibility for IT was that I brought academic credibility with the chief librarian position to the IT community. So IT got a status within the organization that it simply did not have before. prior to this, IT was an enabler, a facilitator. It was kind of infrastructure, but it wasn't a topic at the academic table the way that it needed to be. So I think they were willing, they meaning the deans and the vice presidents, were willing to listen to me from an IT perspective because I had a chief librarian background. Now, that may not be fair to the IT folks, but I think that was the reality of how I was acknowledged at the table and how I was allowed to raise issues that were and have those issues discussed in a very different way. So I think there is that credibility piece does work out fairly well. So another theme was allegiance, and this is kind of interesting because in a role like this, who am I really looking out for? Who is the person in this role most focused on? And I think one of the things to recognize in any academic institution is we deal a lot with various tribes. And in the academy, all these tribal identities are pretty solid and important and strong. So we've got to think about those when we think about that allegiance question. You know, who are we working for? Who do they think we're working for? And how does that play out? So whether it's librarians or support staff or IT analysts or faculty, they've all got a stake in this in some fashion, and they're looking to me and they're looking to this role as a way to advance that. And they're very acutely aware of when this role is doing something for the academic side of the house, or perhaps it's the admin side of the house, and we're trying to balance that off. Now, they could care less about me having to enable systems that deal with taxation problems that we're having, but they're acutely interested all of a sudden when we start talking about changing the learning management system, which we did do, and I'll come back and talk about that in a minute. The most common question I get is this one: where do I spend most of my time? They want to know what it is I do day to day because it's the signal of where my allegiance is. So am I thinking about the library? Am I thinking about our computing center? Am I thinking about other stuff? And this one's significant for me because the real answer is that it's elsewhere. It's in neither of those things. I don't spend most of my time managing the library, managing IT. I spend most of my time thinking about organizational strategy at the institutional level. So it's the CIO role, not the director of computing and not the chief librarian. But it's clear that they want or they expect that choice somehow to be made and for that allegiance to be split, and they see their own value, in a sense, reflected in where I spend my time. So this question gets asked a lot, and it's an unfortunate question because that's not really how we want to see this role, but it is how others see these kinds of roles, where there is this choice to be made between IT or library, as opposed to trying to bring them together. And it leads me to the observation that when we established this, we very consciously did not create a single organization. We did not try to merge IT and the library. That was not the objective. The objective was to find and leverage the commonality across those units, to find the shared objectives and shared capabilities, but not simply to mush it together as an organizational unit. They have very different focuses, very different cultures, different kinds of responsibilities, and they needed to be able to preserve those. But we knew in the middle there were some really interesting and cool things that could happen, and we needed to find those. So that sense of organizational culture, that organizational importance, needed to remain for both those units, and then explore what's in the middle, what can be different inside that, if you will. Another huge issue was expectations. So we've got this new role, we've got this new opportunity. Where is it going to take us? What are we going to be able to do? And it was very clear from the president and from the province that those expectations were around organizational transformation. But what would it really mean on the ground? We kind of used a lot of the literature around IT governance as a way of thinking about this process in sort of a larger framework. And if you haven't looked at this book by Wheel and Ross, and I highly recommend it. It is an exceptional book about governance generally. It's written within the context of IT governance. But when you're thinking about any kind of governance situation, it's a really brilliant analysis of different kinds of governance models and how they play out in different kinds of organizations, including very specifically academic organizations. So we really thought about this framework as a way of thinking about what we wanted to do with this role. And there were some key objectives, I guess, that we had when we first started out. So first of all, move this up to the most senior level possible. We need to obtain an enterprise perspective around information, information technology, information resources. It wasn't about the units in their isolated silos. It was about how we could assemble them into something larger, take those things and make something bigger, something greater. It had to be much more deliberate and intentional. We hadn't had a CIO before, so we knew that there were opportunities to do things on an enterprise level in a very specific way that we hadn't been able to do before. Again, it was a vehicle to accomplish that. Huge issues around transparency and visibility. We really did want to play this out in public as much as we could so that people were aware of what we were trying to do, why we were doing it, the kinds of outcomes that were happening. A lot of this stuff could have happened behind closed doors. It could have happened in ways that were mysterious. But we knew we had to, in a sense, sell this idea a little bit, and we could sell it by doing it very much in public. So we did math in public here. We tried to do things that were sometimes difficult, but it provided, I think, some credibility and some value to that. Lots of things about cost. I won't go to that. Integrating the academic and administrative perspectives. Again, we're often in situations in organizations where these roles are on one side academic and one side administrative, and they never connect. We often have separate IT organizations that do that kind of work. And within the library setting, it tends to come together and as well as diverge in a lot of ways. And yet, the technologies and the processes are much more integrated than they've ever been before. So we started out thinking that this really didn't want to be, we didn't want this to be administrative and academic on either sides of the house. We wanted to have an integrated perspective on how we did this. So we really drove a lot of communities together that really didn't think about themselves as a community. So the financial people and a lot of the student support groups who didn't really think about themselves in that academic sense really had to become part of a larger conversation. And lastly, this idea of CIO light. New role as CIO, new idea of having a CIO. We realized that we had to do this cautiously, carefully, and incrementally. So the role was not an overbearing one of trying to roll out big plans from the CIO and lots of issues like that. It was very much kind of not in the background, but it was visible, transparent, but calm and quiet. We didn't want to upset people. We wanted to gain some partners and gain some involvement. So the idea of light really allowed us to move forward in a much more incremental way rather than come out of the doors gangbusters, which we certainly didn't want to do. And you'll see that in the way that things take a long time to evolve. Particularly, I think our governance structure has taken a lot longer to evolve because we've been less aggressive, maybe is the word I'm looking for, than we could have been. Another huge issue on this is around collaboration. In fact, this is the reason we primarily did this. How could we work together in ways that would simply create new opportunities, new services, new capacity, new capabilities? And the thought was that libraries and IT being closer together would enable that. So, the whole measurement of collaboration on one side and innovation on the other is something that we saw as one of the big wins here. And the thought, of course, is that that's going to happen. The more we can collaborate, the more we'll innovate, and things will go forward in a very interesting way. If you've ever been involved in a collaborative opportunity, that's not really the way it works. It kind of looks like this, one step forward, two step back sometimes, and it has that, it's uneven and awkward and sometimes difficult. I'm here to tell you that this is really what it looks like. And I think this is a good thing. I think this is okay, that what we ended up creating is a kind of a bit of chaos. People unclear all the time about where we're going and why, because that's where some of the new ideas can actually emerge from. If you were at Gary Hamel's talk this morning, you heard that plea for lots of experimentation, lots of new ideas on the table, and I think this is exactly the sort of thing we were trying to encourage. Let's not assume we know what's going to happen here. Let's not assume we know what the outcome of bringing these groups together in a different way will be. Let's let those 1,000 flowers bloom and then see where we can go with it. And we tried very hard to do that, and you'll see a couple of ways we did that. So where have those collaborations worked and maybe where they haven't worked? This is a list of a few things that I think have worked really well for us in particularly bridging that IT library chasm sometimes that's there. We have a phenomenal data resource center working with statistics, data, helping students, helping faculty use that, and it really is a coming together of a lot of different expertise, certainly the library expertise, but also the IT expertise in terms of the software, the data analysis, and we've really provided an opportunity to go beyond just creating data resource centers for the very data-aware types of folk and making data really something that's available for any student, any faculty member. So this unit's been a great success in seeing that those different communities can come together and create a service that we really couldn't have done any other way. Same thing with the Learning Commons. In our Learning Commons, we have very close partnerships with the library, our computing people, our student affairs folks, our teaching support units, and our distance learner types. And all those groups come together, and they can see that their individual contributions are adding up to something much larger than that. And again, having the ability to talk about those issues across those groups has reinforced that collaboration, and we have a phenomenal Learning Commons. On a more strategic level, what we've created is something called the Information Technology Strategy Committee. And this is the senior governance committee that exists on campus. And the success there is really breaking down the organizational silos that existed previously on our campus. So now the senior administrators of the various groups come together. We talk about IT and information as a strategic resource and tool. We make decisions and recommendations on how to move forward on that basis. Conversations that simply never happened before. And they happen across that academic administrative kind of continuum. It's not one or the other. It really is thinking about them both. It's taken a while to get to the stage. It's taken a while for those administrators to speak more publicly in this forum about these issues. They previously could do that within their own sectors, their own units. Now they had to talk on an enterprise level, enterprise platform, and that's been a struggle, but we're certainly getting there. And I consider this a huge success in raising the level of conversation and that, as a result, raising our ability to be much more strategically focused and more successful as a result. On the very other end of the spectrum is the IT Special Interest Group. We call it ITSIG. And these are the frontline IT folks, the people who are in the units, either in central IT or distributed IT. And they're the majority of the people working in IT in our organizations. Typically, they're very disconnected from central IT and from organizational directions and strategies. We worked very hard with this group to create a kind of an organizational wrapper for them so that they could talk about these issues, they could figure out how they could be much more engaged. We put representatives of these groups on more of our senior planning committees and governance committees, and we created a bridge from the strategy to the implementation side of the house in a much more open way. These folks now think of themselves as part of the strategy development process as well as part of the implementation process. Again, a huge kind of win, and probably, again, a little bit because of the role that I have, which isn't strictly IT. It has other aspects to it, and I think they were more accepting of me coming in as someone who could influence those kinds of directions and partner with them. I was a new player that they could find out about, learn to trust, and then use as a tool for their own gain. So I think that was a very positive kind of development. And lastly, President Executive Council, which is the president and the vice presidents. I sit on that council, and again, the issue is raising the level of conversation at that senior level about all things information. And that's what I think that my role really focuses on, is how do we leverage information for that sort of organizational transformation I talked about. Now at those council meetings, we have discussions about information as a fuel to change things, as an enabler to do things differently. And I can tell you that conversation simply never, it didn't happen in that way before. We've been able to change that dialogue. So what didn't work? A couple things that have been real struggles for us, and just show you that you can win some places, not others. Digital identity is a huge problem. We have lots of identity stores. We have people managing digital identities in various places on campus, and a real reluctance to think about digital identity information as a strategic asset, as something that we need to manage through the organization as a thread rather than a silo of of characteristics that each individual unit or system or what have you captures and manages and utilizes. Digital identities are absolutely core to what we're doing and the kinds of services we can roll out, but we've been not successful at this point, and we've been at it for 2 years, 3 years, to really evolve an enterprise view of digital identities and how we use that digital identity information. So I think that's a good example of one where sometimes we win, sometimes we don't. As I said, this is a hill that I probably will die on, so because it's so important to us, but it is one where I'm halfway up that hill right now, and it's hard to know where we're going to go. Business process management. It was really interesting to talk to Sal earlier because he's involved a lot in this, and we've really struggled with my role as being an enabler of process management, process change in our units. The units are much more comfortable thinking about that themselves than bringing in someone from the outside, which I'm perceived as, to help them evolve the way they do things. We think we have huge opportunity to do that, but we get a lot of resistance from those units thinking that they really know their business better than we do, and that we don't really add value there, despite the fact we could see great opportunities to do that. And I've had certainly some smaller successes. But I think this is a real key one for us. Haven't got there. I think we can move a bit further down the line. But and it may well be, this just occurred to me, it may well be that my role as an academic, which is what I'm perceived at, might be actually a barrier in moving this one forward. What do academics know about the business side of the house after all? We're the people who run the financial systems or whatever. We're not, and that actually might be not an enabler at all, maybe a barrier in doing that. Research computing, I think we all have trouble in moving forward research computing on an organizational enterprise level. Guelph's no different. We've really struggled with those independent entrepreneurs and how to assist them in a more common way. We're still coming at it, and I'll talk about something in a minute. IT Special Interest Group was the group I said earlier we've been successful at. I think it's also a group that we haven't been successful at, in that there's still a fair bit of suspicion and resistance to enterprise perspectives and enterprise tools or solutions. They want to innovate locally. They're not as happy to then move that to some sort of enterprise solution, and we're trying to make that a more seamless connection from something being piloted in one place and then rolled out in a larger way for the institution. So as much as I think we've done lots of good things around that, I think we've really also struggled to make that as effective as possible. Where we really saw the huge advantage of this integrated role was clearly about being focused on information, that information was the core piece that sort of linked IT and libraries. And we really wanted to see ourselves as being information-centric, a way of using that information for transformation. And in some ways we've done that, in some ways it's still a bit of a problem. Where I think we're beginning to have some interesting success, and you may find the same thing on your campus, is around research data management. We know that there are simply tons of data that are emerging from our research investigations, our research projects, our faculty are generating it, our graduate students are generating it, and how we capture and manage and reuse that information, that data, is becoming a critical component for our campuses. There are sometimes regulatory requirements to capture and make that data available. There are sometimes requirements of grants and granting agencies that make that important. And yet there's no real strong infrastructure to help faculty and help those units do that. And frankly, it's not happening very much at all, and it's a huge loss. We know that a lot of future research is going to be data-driven, and then being able to capture that data and reuse it is significant. So here's an area, I think a specifically useful area, where all these communities that I represent can actually come together. And if you're looking for a really good report to describe this problem, I highly recommend this report out of the EU called Riding the Wave. It's a brilliant analysis of the amount of scientific data that we're generating and being faced with, and then an EU response to that saying, here's how we can gain a competitive advantage if we can manage that research data differently than anybody else. And I would challenge you and your organizations to think very seriously about that, because it will be a competitive advantage to do that. But focusing on research data management from an institutional point of view really brought together a lot of different communities in a very powerful way that I think we could not have done any other way. So it's the library folks that are coming together around information management. It's enterprise IT coming together around the facilities, the enabling software, the networks and the servers and all that sort of thing. But it's also the researchers themselves coming together and seeing that if they could partner with these groups, they could do things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do. They can comply with their funding. They can provide data in a different way. They can publish that data and actually get academic credit for it. But also the Office of Research, which is our administrative unit for research, saw this as a way of really furthering our academic mission. And again, they could see this partnership evolving around these units that would enable that. And then finally, the funding agencies themselves were very positive about this because we were complying with the regulations that they had, and we were providing what they wanted to see, which is that public investment in research becoming more available to folks outside the academy, not just just academic researchers, but others as well. So it was about a shared issue where we had policy requirements that had to be fulfilled. There were certainly financial impact involved in this, and we could look around at these units and cobble together expertise, capacity, and a very strong partnership. So I'm really excited about where this research data partnership is going to go, and I think it is something that's been enabled because we can have, at the most senior level, a lot more conversation about how the library and IT and researchers and the whole community can come together in different and effective ways. The other theme I want to talk about is what I call the cult of personality. And I'm not thinking about this guy, although I think we do share some similarities. But there's no question that the role of CIO and chief librarian as an integrated role is often very much about the individual, not the role itself. That if you look around at who's been able to do this successfully, it is because probably of the individual involved in that role as opposed to the role and how it's described and how it's positioned in the organization. There are good things and bad things to that. I suppose the good things are that because of that, there's a certain amount of instant credibility that's available on campus for that. And in my case, I know that having been the chief librarian and carrying on with that role opened doors that probably another external CIO probably wouldn't have gotten. And that was important. The really big downside, though, is around succession planning, because if it's that cult of personality about me in that role, then who's the next person? Who's the next CIO, chief librarian? Where do they come from? Could it survive that change? And we often have those kinds of positions in the academy where they're built around individuals, and then when that individual leaves, the structure kind of falls apart. And that would be really unfortunate in our case, because we think there are overwhelming advantages for this role, overwhelming advantages of what we can do. But if it ends up being about me, then that's not going to survive, me moving on to something else or getting hit by a bus or whatever else happens to people. And so it is a bit of a concern that you need to create the role as a strategy, not a wrapper for an individual, and that can be a challenge. So strategy is the other one that I wanted to talk about, because what we've been able to do is, as I said earlier, elevate the conversation about information on our campus and what we want to do about that. So how do we do that? A couple things which were kind of interesting. We developed a plan that we ended up calling the iCampus. And a couple things I just want to mention about this. When we were developing this plan, which is part of our campus integrated planning initiative, it was the opportunity for the senior managers in the library, the computing center, in our portfolio management office, and we have a group called Organizational Services that provides support for all those, to come together for the first time and work together. So they hadn't really worked together very much before. The library and the computing center were fairly not remote from each other, but certainly not as involved with each other. In having them work together around creating and nurturing a draft strategic plan, it was the real crucible, if you will, for those units working together. We gave them a problem to solve. We gave them issues to resolve. We gave them a way to think about the future. And from that, they actually built very strong relationships amongst each other, with each other, that have lasted for 5 or 6 years now. So the finding a way for people to work together, to get to know each other, to struggle with some difficult questions was really a very significant way that we drove that strategy, and I think as a result we've had the kind of success that we have had. This iCampus plan also broke through one of the real big barriers that we had, which is thinking about the university on one hand as a place, a single organization, but also recognizing the very different needs of the different units, whether they're academic or administrative or what have you. So we came up with this concept of one community, many neighborhoods. And the many neighborhoods are the way that both IT and the library and our portfolio planning office can think about how we deal with different disciplines, how we deal with different administrative clients, how we view students as opposed to faculty. They're all parts of these different neighborhoods that come together in that one community. And that was a kind of a metaphorical breakthrough, I guess, in thinking about the role we played and how we could work more effectively with our community. So this plan was not just a team-building exercise, a community-building exercise. It actually created the foundation for a lot of the projects that have evolved since. And I do think that if we hadn't worked through this, if we had done this, we would never been able to achieve those things I talked about a bit earlier. Another piece comes back to those digital, those tribal identities that we talked about earlier, and maybe from a slightly different point of view. The identities I wanted to talk about now are really that senior administrative layer. These are the folks that I work with day in, day out, and the folks that I have to influence in some way. And I really love this picture, because if you ever saw our president, he's actually bald. And so I really like the fact that in this one I get to give him hair for the first time in probably 20 years. But this is the community that I have to influence. And we started off thinking that we really need to influence this community in a kind of a different way. And so you see this person down here. This person is the one who's thinking about that organizational transformation that I talked about earlier, that core mission. This is the person that thinks that collaboration and innovation looks like this. And they really are the disruptive thinker, the positive dissenter. That's my role. I think what we can do, for a lot of the reasons I talked about previously around credibility and positioning, we could put me into the middle of all those folk and stir the pot just a little bit. Find different ways of thinking about our core business, different business processes we might be able to do, different implementations, and that allowed this group to really challenge, as Gary Hamill said this earlier today, challenge some of those assumptions and see whether we could be different. We could work together in different ways. So I had that kind of unique role, and it's a very valuable one. Hey, I'm protected by tenure, so that's a good thing. I can say lots of things that maybe others couldn't. And I had that ability to work with that community in a way that perhaps others didn't, and that we really did use to our advantage. So as Churchill said, however beautiful the strategy is, occasionally you should look at the results. I got a little turned around a little bit. So what have the results been? What have we actually been able to accomplish? I think in terms of enterprise strategy, having that larger vision of where we can use and take information as a tool, some fuel, if you will, I think actually we've done pretty well. We do work at an integrated level now in our planning. Those units come together. We're breaking down those silos. It is a discussion that doesn't talk about administrative on one side and academic on the other. It talks about strategy as a whole. So I think we've moved a long way forward in having that more holistic view of what we're trying to do and how my role can assist and help and support that. I think in terms of innovating and transforming things, we've also done pretty well. We've done some cool stuff, I think, that we couldn't have done another way. And this has really been a platform for that to happen. And it's happened all over the place. It's happened sometimes coming out of the office of CIO, but probably more importantly, it's happened in other places because they've been encouraged or supported by the work that we've done and the things that we've been able to put together. A big piece of this was how do we leverage the opportunities for the library and central IT to come together in interesting and new ways. And I have to say, I think the jury's out on that one. We've done some good things, things like that data center and the learning commons and some of the other things. But there's lots of other areas where, frankly, I don't think we've made the progress that we could. A real good one for me is around information management. The way we capture and maintain information on campus really ought to be an obvious connection from the library and IT, central IT, and it just has not gelled in the way that we thought it might around things like CMS and other kinds of tools. It's not to say we can't go forward. It's just to say that I think the expectations we had of how easy this would be or where we could go didn't pan out quite as deeply and as broadly as we might have thought. Information-centric, that idea that we could use information as a center of a lot of things and have that do things we couldn't otherwise do, I think, frankly, that has not happened in any way, in a successful way. We're not giving up, but I just think that that expectation of that, anticipation of that, didn't play out. We weren't able to accomplish that. Governance and policy, again, I think the jury's out a little bit on this one. The IT infrastructure, sorry, the IT governance we have and the governance processes we use are good. We're rolling out policy that is effective and important, but it's hard to see whether that's going to sustain itself in the long term. So, again, I think that one is maybe in process in lots of ways. And the real question for me, as I mentioned earlier, is succession. Does this role survive? When I move on, will the University of Guelph maintain this connection between IT and libraries? Is it something that's valuable, that is seen as going forward? And I think, again, this is a real question mark. We probably won't know that for a while. But it does raise some interesting questions about things like, if you have this combined role, does the person have to be a librarian? Does the person in charge of notionally the library have to have that credential? Or can it be someone from another sector? It's interesting when you look at the evolution of CIOs in the academy, they come from all sorts of different backgrounds, from computing academics, from the library, from various places. But librarians are librarians, and there's a real tribal identity there, and it's going to be a problem to see someone become the CIO and chief librarian who is not a librarian. And I have to tell you, that creates some unease and some tension in our organization because it seems to close doors for some people in terms of their advancement and progress and perhaps unfairly open doors for another sector. So we're going to struggle a little bit with how we move that forward. We have, though, to think about that transformational piece, really been able to do some good stuff because of this, though. And the one I just wanted to leave you with as an example was moving to a single learning management system. We struggled for years having multiple learning management systems on campus and no obvious place for the discussion to happen around changing that. And yet our units, particularly our library, could see that with multiple LMSs, it was very difficult to infuse our courses, and we have a lot of online courses, with the kind of information resources and information services that they wanted to provide. My role and my ability to bring these communities together really allowed us to finally have a conversation about how we wanted to focus on online learning, how we wanted to bring resources together across many different units, how having a single LMS would be an enabler for that, and then actually doing the hard administrative work of negotiating those licenses, finding the financial resources, and actually happening. So over a two-year period, we moved to a single LMS. We've got all our groups now working on a single platform with a single set of tools and resources, and the outcome, both academically and administratively, so academic effectiveness and administrative effectiveness, costs and resources, has been very profound. I think that's a clear example of how being able to bridge over those different communities and bring those different perspectives to the table allows something as contentious as that to go forward as smoothly as, in fact, did at Guelph, which is pretty unusual. So I guess in conclusion, I would say to you that Guelph has been able to lever this opportunity, this joint opportunity, in very interesting and different ways. Some of it is because of the nature of the organization. Some of it's the nature of the colleagues I work with. For you, I think it's a question of, would it play out the same way in your campus? Could you do a better job of it? Or is it something that really wouldn't fit your culture and you really need to think of other ways of maybe bringing together these communities but not necessarily having them managed by a single administrator the way that we're doing at Guelph? So thank you very much for your attention. I appreciate it. I'd be happy to answer questions or have a conversation about this. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think the difference they would see is that the work that they do is more deeply connected to other parts of the campus. So when I say that, I think the librarians have a stronger connection with enterprise IT than they've ever had before, and that opens up access to tools and resources that they didn't have before or that we had to build in the library alone. So I think that part of it has given them access to things they didn't get before, and that's given them more effectiveness within the academic enterprise. But you're right. I mean, to be honest with you, there are lots of our folk, both in the library and in the computing center, whose lives probably haven't changed that dramatically. They have a very focused job, and they know what they're doing, and it works well, and this doesn't change them demonstrably, and that's okay. Others have seen some opportunities to work in a different way that they wouldn't have had before. Your question about, your observation about me spending my time in IT is a very insightful one, and it probably tells you more about where our IT shop was at that point in time than anything else, and you sometimes need to put more effort in one side of the place than, or one part than another. And I think your observation is key. I wouldn't say that's necessarily the only result from a combined role like this. It may just be Guelph specific.
Oh, and those are the unions.
Yeah, they still see it as a very, well, I don't know if students know anything about our organization. I think they just know what they get in terms of services. And so, yeah, when they go to our Learning Commons or our Data Resource Center, they don't think, oh, this is a cool thing. The CIO's, you know, brought these units together and we've got this new thing. But they do see changed services. They see a more effective support for example, statistical discovery and access and data access. So there are benefits to them that have occurred that I think only occurred because we've been able to bring those resources together. That's what they see. And that's fine. I mean, that's the way it ought to be, right? They just see better things. They don't see necessarily the organizational structure that made that happen. Other comments? Yeah.
How do you define your priorities between the two areas? Do you use your government to do
that? Yeah, it's that and our integrated planning process, which we do as a campus-wide piece. And one of the things I tried to get across, maybe not as well as I could have, is that I don't tend to think of the job as either library or IT competing for my time. It really is trying to think more globally and more strategically about the campus. And that's often a struggle as a new CIO, a new position for our campus. But it really is the integrated plan for the campus that sets the overarching priorities for where we're going to go. That's where the LMS came from when we talk about things in other ways like identity management is a real good example where that's become a priority now and we need to marshal that forward. But that process is how my priorities are determined, along with my conversation with my boss. I report to the provost and vice president academic, which is also an interesting decision we made about positioning that my role in that reporting relationship. And the trick for me in there is to also connect intensively with the vice president administration and finance to try and make sure we bridge over that academic administrative divide. I think we're done. Thank you very much for your attention. Enjoy the rest of the conference.